Would you all like to do that? Okay, so it's very simple. I will sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then after that, all together, you please sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Humanitarian organizations purport to help others. The intention to help others is certainly laudable. It's certainly better than the intention to torture others, kill them, blow them up, exploit them, or in various other ways cause harm to them. Certainly every noble human being should desire the welfare of others. The well-known Vedic injunction is Sarve Sukhino Bhavantu. Of course, it requires some knowledge of how to make others happy or how to benefit them. In the last 3.5 years or so, the word tsunami has become famous. The tsunami of 2004, was it? That wasn't the first one in history. The word tsunami is there. It's a Japanese word which got incorporated into English because they experience it enough times to have a word for it in their language. Yeah, it's a Japanese word. I spent many years in Bangladesh, Center for International Aid, although I couldn't help but notice that most of the welfare organizations had an office in Dhaka and not much else. They had an office in the capital city and not much else. That's all. Anyway, in 1970-71, that was the time of the so-called Bangladesh War of Independence. And there was a tremendous amount of suffering. And shortly after that, there was a massive tidal bore in the southern districts. They called it a tidal bore. Nowadays, we call it a tsunami, tidal wave or tidal bore, which at a stroke, because Bangladesh is a flat country, so that just came in from miles and miles inland and killed who knows how many people. So many welfare organizations in the Western countries, they immediately mobilized. And one of the things they did was they collected lots of old clothes to send out to the people who survived but who had lost everything. People who survived lost everything except the clothes they were wearing. Huge container loads of Western dresses started coming, but the women of Bangladesh don't wear Western dresses, they wear saris, and they didn't want to start wearing Western dresses. So that is just an example of an intention to help, but due to lack of knowledge, it was a useless endeavor. Of course, some useful things like blankets, they also came. But due to the prevailing corruption in the country, all the blankets got exported to India and sold there. We find in what they call these undeveloped countries that these disasters are a very good opportunity for the rich people to get richer. I'm not sure what the situation is here, but I suspect it may be similar also. Millions of dollars pour into the country and the poor people remain as poor as ever. Anyway, the point I'm making here is that if we wish to help others, first we have to know how we can actually help them. So it would be considered that we can help people by providing schools and hospitals and houses and roads and all the basic facilities for human life. So that will help people. So our Krishna Conscious Movement is also a welfare organization. But people often challenge us that what welfare work are you doing? You're just singing Hare Krishna and speaking from Bhagavad Gita, and how is that helping others? But actually, if we understand the truth expounded in Bhagavad Gita, we'll understand that this is the best welfare work. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, his first instruction to the lamenting Arjuna is to distinguish between the body and the soul. Arjuna was lamenting that so many people will have to die here. But Bhagavan Krishna pointed out that, well, even if they were not to die here, everyone has to die anyway. It's just like in the tsunami, so many people died. But if they hadn't died in the tsunami, they would have died anyway. So we can't protect people from death, ultimately. But in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna teaches that yang yang vapi swaram bhavam tyajyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sadata bhava bhavitaha. So according to the consciousness we cultivate in this life, that determines our future. So the real disaster of the tsunami was not that so many people died, but that they died without cultivating higher consciousness. And the same disaster is going on moment by moment throughout the world, because human life is meant for cultivating higher consciousness. Urdhvam gacchanti satvasta madde tishtanti rajasa adho gacchanti tamasa jagandaguna vritisto. At the present time, modern civilization is promoting the lower consciousness of Rajagun and Tamagun, which causes people to get born in the lower species of life. So, of course, to have the infrastructure of roads, hospitals, schools, houses, this is required. But that is not all in all. Even the animals, they make some infrastructure for their living. The bees are very expert engineers, very good social organization. There's no factions in bee society. It's perfect cooperation. So in terms of social cooperation and peaceful coexistence, we can learn a lot from the bees. In many ways, you could say the bees are better than the humans. But still, human life is more important than bee life, because in human life, we can cultivate higher consciousness. Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanya metat pashubhyaranam. Bees, the birds, the animals, they have elaborate arrangements, but only for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So in human society, if we think that simply to make arrangements for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, our job is complete, then we are no better than animals. Dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesham. The special facility in human life, which is not there in animal life, is the possibility to practice dharma. So animals eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Human beings eat, sleep, mate, and defend. But a human being is not simply someone with two legs and two hands who speaks Tamil or Simala or English, but real human being is one who practices dharma. So animal plus dharma equals human being. So by simple arithmetic, if A plus B equals C, then C minus B equals A. So a human being minus dharma equals animal. Dharmena hina pashubhyanaranam. Human being without dharma is simply an animal. So most people think, yes, I'm following dharma. I'm a Hindu, a Muslim, a Christian, a Buddhist, or something like this. But mostly we find that for people who go to the church, the temple, the mosque, or whatever, and they simply pray to God for facilities for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They're praying to God, please make me a happy animal. But real dharma begins with atato brahma jignyasa, to inquire into the ultimate reality. Dharma is not simply some sentimental or dogmatic endeavor. Dharma means the endeavor to understand, who am I, why am I suffering, what is my position in eternity. So as I was saying, Bhagavan Krishna began his teachings to Arjuna by delineating the difference between the soul and the body. Without understanding this, there is no adhyatmik, there's no actual spiritual understanding. to practice religious life with the idea of enjoying the body or getting facilities for personal enjoyment is not actually spiritual. We are eternal beings. We never actually are born or die. But due to ahankar or attachment to the idea that I should enjoy myself, we take various bodies which do not, they're not actually us. So real benefit for the human being is to give knowledge of the real self of the soul. Indriyani prani aho indriyebhyo param manaha manasas tu para buddhe yo buddhe paratas tu saha. So there are various levels of understanding who we are. Our grossest needs are our sensual needs. We need food, clothing and shelter. So it is certainly a humanitarian activity to endeavor to provide these for persons who are lacking these basic amenities. However, this is not the total need of the human being. There are mental requirements also, and intellectual requirements. There's the whole range of emotions to be considered. In the prison, someone may be in solitary confinement. They have food, clothing and shelter. But it is a punishment because they are deprived of intercourse with other human beings. So there are emotional needs also. That is more difficult to provide because it's more subtle, it's less tangible. If people are suffering from hunger, it's relatively easy to solve that problem by providing food. But if people are suffering from emotional deprivation, then no one loves them, or they're being mistreated, then it's more difficult to rectify that situation. By giving $100, you can maybe provide, I don't know, 200 kilos of rice or something like that. But even if you give $1 billion, you can't give one drop of love. So these are also human requirements. Practically speaking, we see that many people who have, whereas we find people who are struggling, they don't even have proper food, clothing and shelter, but they're actually much more emotionally balanced and happy because they have bonding among themselves, the parents care for their children, and which often in the rich families they don't do. So although the many welfare organizations from the Western countries are very anxious to provide humanitarian aid for what they call less developed countries, they also need some aid themselves. I mean, they're suffering from emotional lack. That's why we find in the Western countries, even though there's so much money, there's also so much suicide and so much serious mental illness. If you go to America, you'll find there's a common word everyone knows, Prozac. Who's heard of Prozac? It's an antidepressant drug. So many people take it that everyone knows the word. Just like, who here has heard of idlis? Who knows what an idli is? Everyone. Who had idlis for breakfast today? Anyone? No? They all eat cornflakes nowadays or what? They're too big. Huh? Oh, is it? I see. Alright. But you know what an idli is, right? Okay. So it's like that. If you say, I ate idlis today, you don't have to explain. You know, everyone knows what an idli is. So in the same way in America, if you say to someone, I'm on Prozac, you don't have to explain what it is. Everyone knows what it is. It's so common. It's for people who have serious, regular depression, which I don't even know if there's a word in ordinary Tamil for that. It means a state of just feeling everything, the whole world is useless, and a complete self, a sense of hopelessness. I don't think there's any words for this in Indian languages. Because it's just not common. Depression, it means vishada is a Sanskrit word. I don't know if that comes up. Shokam. Mahashokam. I don't know how to say. You see, there's not what to speak of the medicine. There's not even a word for the condition. So anyway, we're discussing human beings have gross sensual needs. They have emotional needs. They have intellectual needs. The cow eats grass and gives milk. The cow doesn't conduct research into varieties of grass and how the grass is transformed into milk. The cow doesn't care. Nor does the pasu have the intellectual capacity to conduct scientific research. But human beings are curious beings. They want to know why, how, who, where, what, when. And based on trying to find the answers to these questions, all these studies of history, geography, science, sociology, they've all developed. So humans have sensual, emotional, and intellectual needs, but the ultimate need is the spiritual need. Because ultimately we are spiritual beings. And even if there's all facilities for fulfilling our sensual, emotional, and intellectual needs, still we feel we are lacking something. And that something which is missing is the vital factor of our existence. Because ultimately we are all spiritual beings. We all have our eternal spiritual relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This material existence is unnatural for us. Why is there so much suffering in the world? It is an unnatural situation. There is the example of the fish out of water. If you take a fish out of water and you give him a glass of beer, a packet of cigarettes, a TV, or if you give him to be his girlfriend the most beautiful fish, she fish, Miss Fish, the world's most beautiful fish as his girl, Lady Fish. It doesn't matter what you give him, he cannot be satisfied because he's in an unnatural situation. So in the same way, we are in an unnatural situation in this material world. We don't want to die, we don't want to have disease, we don't have any kind of distress, but these things are forced upon us. However much we try to live peacefully and happily, we are forced to die. And jatasya hi dhruva mrityu, we have to die ultimately. We're not meant for andhruvam janma mrityasya cha punarapi jananam punarapi maranam punarapi janani jathare shayanam. This is material existence. But we are meant for happy existence. There is this spiritual world that is called Vaikuntha or Golok, death, old age or disease there. That is our position of actual blissful existence. So this Krishna conscious woman is giving knowledge of the spiritual world and how to go there. If we have this knowledge and if we act on that knowledge by performing bhakti, then all our problems will be solved. But if we don't make the endeavor to go to the spiritual world, then whatever endeavors we make, we cannot actually solve our problems at all. We think, well, a tsunami, that's something very bad. It is. But it's not really the problem, it's the symptom of the problem. The real problem is that we are denying our spiritual existence. And therefore, we have to remain in material existence. And material existence means birth, death, old age and disease. And wars, and torture, and tsunamis, and famines, and so on, and so on. So by giving this knowledge of spiritual existence, this Krishna conscious movement is actually performing the greatest welfare work for human society. Whereas other attempts to help others are paltry at best. Paltry means insignificant. It's just like if someone is sentenced to death, tomorrow you will be shot. And different people come in to help him, say, well, we will get you a better bed in your cell so you can sleep more comfortably. And we'll make sure you have a very good meal Now we'll remove this old fan and put a new air conditioning system in yours. And we'll arrange that you'll get shot with gold bullets.
Okay.
We'll arrange for you to be shot with gold bullets. Bullets made of gold.
Gold.
Gold, sona.
Your food.
You'll be shot with a bullet made of gold. So, will it help the person? Someone else is getting shot and you'll say, ha ha, you're getting shot with bullets made of lead. I'm getting shots with bullets made of gold. So the real thing he wants is a lawyer to get an appeal and get him freed from the death sentence. So in the same way, we're making facilities to live comfortably, but we can't live. But the real thing is to give the consciousness by which we can get freed from repeated birth and death. And the process is very simple. In this Kali Yuga, simply by chanting the names of Krishna, we can attain all spiritual perfection. Actually, this tsunami and wars and torture, it's typical of Kali Yuga. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it was written 5,000 years ago. It predicts the situation in Kali Yuga. One of the prominent symptoms is vritahimsa, meaningless violence. There's just so much violence and nothing, there's no tangible effect or no reason, it just goes on and on and on and no one is benefited. But that's only one thing. Kali Yuga is an ocean of fun. Kale dosha nidhe rajan asti eko mahan guna kirtanad eva krishna syad mukta sangha parvindaji. So this is our humanitarian offering. How people can cross over all miseries by chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, we're not totally indifferent to the situation in this world because we are in it. So we're not saying that schools, hospitals and everything else should be stopped. But we're saying that if we really want to help others, we have to expand our vista of understanding what are the needs of others. Another consideration is that if we are to help others in the best way, then first of all, we have to prepare ourselves. If someone thinks, I want to help others I'll do free surgery for poor people. Well, first he has to learn to be a surgeon. Good wishes are not enough. If you go with a surgeon's knife and say, yes, I'm going to give free operations. And are you a doctor? No, but I really want to help you. And now you just have to cut and, stick the knife in. And people say, I'll die from heart attack. I'd rather die from heart attack than your so-called surgeon. So in the same way, there are many people who purport to be spiritual leaders, but they themselves are not trained in the systematic knowledge of Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. They neither practice spiritual life in the proper way, nor have they any knowledge of what actual spiritual life is. So in the name of being spiritual teachers, they just promote themselves as Bhagawan, or in this way they do some ridiculous things which foolish people are impressed by, but which actually causes more harm than good. So, if we realize we need some medical help, we better find a proper doctor. Someone may call himself a doctor, but then if he doesn't act according to Bhagavad Gita, then he's not actually a doctor. So there's a few thoughts about spiritual humanitarian work. Actually, our work is not humanitarian, it's sarve sukhino bhavantu, that all living beings be happy. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, sarva bhuta hite ratam, one should be attached to the welfare of all living beings. So we may think we'll benefit human beings by starting a poultry farm, but the chickens, they're not very pleased with it. So all living beings, we should see for the benefit of all living beings. And actually by feeding human beings with chicken and eggs, it might seem to do some physical good, although that's also questionable because excess protein is actually not very good for the body. But even if you think there is some benefit for the body, the persons who are eating that diet, they have to share in the karmic reactions of slaughtering animals. So the overall effect is not beneficial at all, it's malefic. All right, well, thank you very much for listening carefully. I know that some of the things I've said, if not almost all the things I've said, may not have been very pleasing to you, but our motto is not to speak to please people on a superficial level, but to give some actual knowledge which can benefit people eternally. So just like Krishna, what he said to Arjuna was not what Arjuna wanted to hear, that which was for the ultimate benefit of Arjuna. So in the same way, we are obliged to speak if we are to be sincere well-wishers of others. If I come and I say, you are doing very good, everything you are doing is very nice, you will be pleased. But if we point out that actually you have to come up to a higher level, there's something missing, you may not be so pleased. Eternal benefit, we should be prepared to improve ourselves, come up to a higher level. So thank you very much, Ramanandri. And if there are any questions, please ask, or comments. Maybe if you like to write on a piece of paper, any question. Yeah, just if anyone would like, they could write on a piece of paper and give the question. Sometimes people are a little shy. Yeah, what's the question from this gentleman? Yeah, say it in Tamil. Repeat in the mic. Yeah, that is stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, that verse I spoke, Yang Yang Bhavi Swaram Bhava, that verse. Just consider that in the modern age, it's very common that people, they like to have lots of sex without marriage. In the Western countries, it's very common that people like to have lots of sex with lots of girlfriends without marriage. But that's very troublesome, because one girl, her boyfriend may come and beat you up, or she gets pregnant and then you have to pay for the children. So by the grace of Maya, you will become a monkey. Then you can have lots of girlfriends, without the problems that you have in humans, the same. Or it's just like someone is very desirous, I want to be a leader and others will respect me. But he has no scope to do so in human society. So in the next birth, by the grace of Maya, he may be born as a dog, and in the local area, all the other dogs will respect him as being the leader. So this is how it works. Also, the word in Tamil is mamisam, and in Sanskrit it's mamsaha. So this word is derived from mam unto me, saha he, me he. Yeah. So that means that in this life I am eating you, next life you eat me. This is the law of karma. It's true not only on the atomic level, it's true on the karmic level also. And this is actually why there's so much suffering in the modern age. There's so many animals being killed, so much sinful activity. Nowadays there's lots of propaganda against terrorist organizations. George Bush has declared war against terrorism. But in his own country, millions of animals are being killed every day. He's the head of a terrorist state. People say, well, that's only animals. They suffer also. And they also feel suffering. If you bring a knife to a cow, the cow will not say, okay, very nice, please cut my throat. They're also suffering. We have to suffer by causing suffering. These are the laws of nature. We can maybe break the laws of the state and maybe we can get away with it. But we cannot, maybe we can avoid, we can commit a crime and not get caught. But on the karmic level, we cannot avoid it. Yeah, is there some question? Looks like a long question. Or maybe it's many questions. Without being disturbed by that? Then what? How can you not be disturbed by that? Well, just by understanding the fact that Sometimes things happen that we don't expect, which are against our wishes. And sometimes things happen that we don't expect, that it's good luck also. So, understanding that this is simply the result of some previous activities, we should not... That's why Lord Krishna says, Sukhe dukhe same kritva. In happiness and distress, we should remain steady and remain fixed on understanding that the happiness of this world is an illusion, and the distress of this world is also an illusion. I am meant for serving Krishna. Regular study of Bhagavad Gita as it is will help us to become fixed in this understanding. Well, those who are worthy, those who are fit, they will take human birth. Otherwise, we go to lower species, or you can go to higher species, although in Kali Yuga no one's going up. But if we perform sinful activities, we take birth in lower species, and after working off karmic reactions, we again take birth in human birth. But then again, if we spoil the opportunity, then again we go to lower species. But the real aim should not be to take human birth, but to get free from the samsara chakra. For that, we should chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And even if we don't become spiritually perfect, if we sincerely try, then definitely we'll at least get human birth in the next birth. Then, actually, in spiritual existence, the Atma also has spiritual form. Mukte hitvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. What to do so we don't get a material form? Chant Hare Krishna. For other details of how to practice Bhakti Yoga at home, one can see this book, Bhakti Yoga. I made one book which is a practical guide to practicing Bhakti Yoga. We have that book? Still, we have some copies? Yeah. This is a practical guide, how to chant Maha Mantra Japam, how to do puja in your home according to the Vaishnav system, various mantras, all these things. We have many other important books also. Any other questions? Well, therefore sadhu sangha is required. Therefore sadhu sangha is required. In Satya Yuga, people used to go alone for meditation. But in Kali Yuga, sangha shakti kalo yoga, we get strength from associating with saintly people. It's just like if you take one small twig, you can break it very easily. But if you get a bundle, even though they're all small twigs, when they're put in a bundle, you cannot break them. Of course, if our own sankalpam is very strong, then in any circumstance we will practice bhakti. I think you know the story of Prahlad Maharaj. You all know the story of Prahlad Maharaj? They know other than one. He was a young boy, just a child, and he was surrounded by demons, and even his own father wanted to kill him. So his social situation was not very favorable for practicing bhakti. So I don't think anyone here has such a difficult situation as Prahlad. So by reading about the stories of great devotees like Prahlad, we can gain resolution, strength of mind. Durata, I can say. Durata. And we can pray to these devotees to please give me strength. Then anything else? Maybe, but again, maybe it depends not just on our desire, but it's not just what we desire, but also what we deserve. Just like I gave this example, you may want to be a leader, respected by others. So in our next life, you might become a dog who is respected by other dogs as the most powerful. So generally, our desires are fulfilled, but it might not be fulfilled exactly in the way that we envisage it. We should know what to desire for our own actual benefit. See, even for example, if you want to become famous, it's not much fun actually. It's not actually very enjoyable. A famous person cannot walk on the street peacefully. Now, if this cricketer, what's his name, Muthiah Muralidharan, if he came and walked here, then immediately all people would surround him and autograph. And So you might think, well, that's very nice to be the center of attention. When it's all the time, then it becomes a burden, that you can never get any peace. You see, any famous person, they have to have so much security surrounding them. You can't go anywhere without the security personnel allowing you. You become a prisoner, actually, of the security forces. So we should desire to act in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. There's another example that from Greek mythology, the Midas. Midas was a person who, in Greek mythology, he desired that anything he touched would turn to gold. So he got his desire fulfilled. Turned into gold. That also turned into gold. The water also turned into gold. So he was finished. So we should know what to desire. Otherwise our desires may cause our disaster. Actually, I have one desire which I want to fulfill immediately. I'm having some rumba kashtam. I have to go to the bathroom. So you answer a few questions.
You answer.
Okay, you can go on answering.
This is a misinterpretation of a statement in the Bible, in Genesis, where it's stated that God gave man dominion over the animals. So that's been interpreted to mean that man can kill them, exploit them, and do whatever he likes with them. But actually it means he should look after them. Rules over the subjects, that doesn't mean he eats them, it means he disciplines them for their own benefit. The Vedic understanding is that if we unnecessarily kill animals or human beings or whatever, then we have to suffer a karmic reaction. But generally, see, it's a symptom of low consciousness to want to eat meat when the human body can be sustained very well without eating meat. And therefore we interpret the scriptures in various ways. Lord Buddha taught ahimsa paramo dharma. So actually Buddhists should be vegetarians, because by purchasing meat they're encouraging the butchers. I was in Thailand and I sometimes used to ask Buddhist people that if you're a Buddhist, how are you eating meat? So we don't kill the animals, the butcher kills. And they share in the sinful reaction. They share in the sinful reaction for doing so. So in Bhagavad Gita it's discussed about sattva-gun, raja-gun, tamagun. So certain religious paths, they appeal to people in sattva-gun, some appeal to people in raja-gun, and some appeal to people in tamagun. But we can't expect that we'll get the same result from acting in tamagun that we'll get from acting in sattva-gun. Well, I just gave the answer. That if we act in tamagun, we can say God, 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 but we're still in lower consciousness. In the war, both sides are praying to God to help us. In the war, both armies, the members are praying to God to help them. But in most cases, both sides are wrong, and why should God help either of them? We want God to serve us, but we are meant to serve what He wants. If we simply thought what God wants us to do, instead of praying to God that you help me to do what I want to do, then we would have actual religion. We say that people are praying to God, but most people are not even interested to know who is God. Mostly people have a very vague idea of God, because they're not actually interested to understand who He is. They just want to get something from Him. They don't really want to serve Him. So this kind of religion, that leads to more division. Due to lack of knowledge of the actual purpose of religion, people, they torture and kill others in the name of religion. Oh, that's very nice. Yes. Actually, I was saying we should have pictures of Krishna, Radha Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise people think we're another, just a guru cult, you know. Yeah. This is a picture of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. who comes in a parampara of bona fide gurus, who taught this process of Krishna bhakti all over the world, and gave even persons like myself with absolutely no background of Vedic culture the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. Do we have the Prabhupada book here? We have many books written by Srila Prabhupada here. He wasn't running a personality cult. He didn't go all over the world and tell people, worship me. You'll find mostly all these so-called holy people, they come and they say, worship me. Or they claim themselves to be God. But he said, he taught the conclusion of all Vedic scriptures that Krishna is Bhagavan, we should worship Krishna. That is the sign of a bona fide guru. Guru Bhavabhava Santi, Shishya Vitapaharaka, Durlabha Sadguru Devi, Shishya Tapa Paharaka. There are many, this is spoken by Lord Shiva to Devi Parvati. He says there are many gurus who are very expert in taking away the wealth of their disciples, but it's rare to find a genuine guru who can take away the suffering of their disciples. So I'm very grateful to Lord Krishna for having sent me such a guru who didn't cheat me. Definitely we can. That depends on our own sincerity. If we call out Krishna, Krishna, but we're still looking at the material world, thinking I can enjoy it, then we won't get Krishna. Draupadi was calling out Govinda, Govinda, holding onto a sari with one hand. When she let go of the sari and with two hands called out Govinda, Govinda, then Govinda came. So we can attain Krishna certainly. We cannot. Daivi Yesha Gunamai Namamaya Duratyaya. Maya is very strong and we are very weak. But Maneva Yipapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. By taking help from Krishna, who is stronger than Maya, we can overcome. By taking help from Krishna, we can become successful. By ourselves, it's not possible. Even many great yogis who meditated with great austerities for thousands of years still couldn't control their mind. And we can't even keep our mind still for 5 seconds. Has anyone ever tried sit and do meditation? And immediately, that's why in Kali Yuga, the meditation is chanting Hare Krishna. That is practical. Of course, even while chanting, we can be chanting with the lips, and the mind is going. But the sound is directed toward Krishna, and Krishna will help us. We are very weak, tiny little beings. But Krishna, if we sincerely take shelter of Krishna, Krishna will certainly help us. Apart from that, I wrote one book called Brahmacharya and Krishna Consciousness. So this book is not just for brahmacharis who are brahmacharis, but for all persons desirous of advancing in spiritual life, in which controlling the mind and the senses is the basis. That's why, again, you see this question of meat eating comes again. It's, you see, if you eat such rajasic food, then how can the mind and senses be controlled? So, these things should be considered. You have that? We have it in English and Italian. Still some. Okay, more questions, a lot of questions. That's good. Right? Yeah, well, actually, much vegetarian food does not involve killing. Just like eating rice. Do you kill the rice to eat it? No. Isn't it? The rice is cut after the plant has already died. Or fruit, when you take the mammalam from the tree, you don't kill the tree. Although some things, they may be killed also. When you take the spinach from the ground, then the spinach means the shark. Then that plant may be killed. The consciousness of the spinach plant is much less than that of a cow or a chicken. Therefore, it suffers much less. Therefore, it's less sinful reaction. But yes, there is also still sinful reaction. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states, Yagya Shishta Shina Santa Vuchante Sarada Kil Vishai Vunjante Te Tadam Papa Yeva Chanti Atma Karana. So, shall we chant Hare Krishna for a few minutes? And then we have some prasad to distribute, and books are available there.